Welcome to the Art of Pilates podcast. I'm your host, Louise Taub from Taub Pilates. Let me help you live better through Pilates. I aim to keep you motivated, inspired, and informed with insight into many Pilates topics and awesome Pilates practitioners. If you'd like to engage with the podcast further, you can find me at the Art of Pilates group on Facebook. Let's start. So this podcast contains sensitive content as we talk about pregnancy loss and stillbirth. If it triggers anything for you, please contact SANDS, SANS, on 1300 072 637. That's 1300 072 637. So SANS is for miscarriage, stillbirth, and newborn death support. So today I'm talking to Lauren Hughes. She's been in the fitness industry for just over 20 years. In the early days, Lauren studied applied science, physical education at uni, and after a few years of being a physical education teacher, Lauren moved into personal training and Pilates instructing. Lauren's career has continuously evolved. Lauren is passionate about training postnatal women who have experienced pregnancy loss and assist them on their fitness journey. It's through blending personal and professional experience that Lauren has created Tiny Ladder and is here today to talk about her vision. So Lauren, a little bit of background on you. So where were you born?
Hi Louise. I was born in Essendon in Victoria at a hospital that no longer exists anymore.
So. Oh, wow. Yes. And how did you get into Pilates?
I got into Pilates in 2005. I'd been running my personal training studio for quite a while after PE teaching, and I thought that I was just doing a lot of boot camps and a lot of heavy sort of hardcore training back in the 2005 days, and just thought that I really wanted to get a little bit more into functional training. I had only done one Pilates class in my life prior to that, and for some reason on my email an email popped up and just was advertising a Pilates class or Pilates course, become an instructor. And I thought that will blend quite nicely with my functional training and where I want to go with my business. So I did my mat Pilates class in 2005, and from then just developed such a passion for instructing Pilates and mat Pilates. From there, I went on to do my reformer instructing course and haven't looked back since.
Wow, that's awesome. And so tell us about Tiny Ladder. How did Tiny Ladder come about?
Tiny Ladder, it's an interesting name for a business, I must say, particularly for a fitness business. It's been in my vision for quite a number of years now, and it's through blending my professional experience with also a personal experience that I had in 2009. I experienced a stillborn baby. My baby was 40 weeks and 2 days gestation when I found out that my baby's heartbeat had stopped. And through that experience of stillbirth, I felt like that my body had failed me. I felt like I just wanted to turn my back on my body. After a while, I became wanting to get back into my exercise regime, but ironically, there was nowhere in the fitness industry that I could turn. I didn't fit into a regular mums and bubs class. I didn't fit into a group training class, as my postnatal body had those considerations of that late pregnancy. So I developed Tiny Ladder, blending both my personal and my professional experience to create a safe space for women to meet, talk, and train in a comfortable and safe environment following pregnancy loss with a postnatal exercise specialist such as myself.
Wow, that is awesome. So when you actually found out that your baby's heartbeat had stopped, so you had to go through a full labour, is that right?
Yes. So at 40 weeks full term, you do have to go through the labour, the delivery, and the postnatal early days experience, just like all postnatal women do in those in that situation. So I had a long labour with my son, Alexander, and I had a lot of pregnancy and postnatal considerations, and I'd say physical complications, not that they were serious in needing medical attention, but definitely when it came to exercise, there were definite considerations that I had Yes, so it was absolutely like any other labour or delivery at this late stage in pregnancy.
Oh my goodness. And so when you were actually delivering, the room was filled with people knowing that you were delivering a stillborn baby.
Yes.
So it would have had a totally different feeling and energy to the room to someone who's bringing forth a new child. Yes. To the world who's alive and vibrant and...
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So my obstetrician, who is amazing, and she also saw me through my subsequent pregnancies and children, she handled the situation incredibly well looking back, and the tone in the room was extremely low, obviously, but I still needed to get the job done. I still needed to deliver my baby. I still needed to focus. It felt like I was standing at the bottom of a mountain and I need to get up on top of that mountain and down the other side with my mind intact, with my body intact, and yeah, just get through it. So I had to just really focus on the job ahead the next hour, the next 4 hours, the next 6 hours. I couldn't think anything beyond that at that stage. I just had to get it done. Yeah.
So can you tell us what is stillbirth like? What fits into the definition of stillbirth?
Sure. Stillbirth is defined in Australia as the loss of a baby from 20 weeks, and it can occur anywhere up to and including birth. So the baby is born without any signs of life. The mother still goes through the birth process, just as we've talked about. Following the birth, the parents have a chance to spend time with their baby, and the baby's birth and death is recorded. So yes, in different countries and with the World Health Organization, stillbirth is defined slightly differently, with the weeks being at 28 weeks. But in Australia, it's from 20 weeks gestation onwards.
And so what about miscarriage? How is miscarriage defined within that as well? Is there anything before, or is miscarriage defined after 20 weeks as well? Like if you do lose your baby during that time? Or?
Great question. So there's two different definitions for miscarriage. There's late-term miscarriage, which can occur from 12 weeks up to the 20-week mark. And late miscarriage is legally different to stillbirth. So the baby's birth and death are not recorded in the same way, and you don't go through the funeral process in the same way. That is defined as the loss of a pregnancy or the natural termination of a pregnancy that can occur anywhere from conception up to 12 weeks gestation.
Mm-hmm. And what about people who have to have a termination because there's just so many things wrong with the fetus? They get their 3-month scan and they're told you have to terminate now, today, phone up your partner. Mm. We're going to do this procedure now. So would Tiny Ladder be able to help with people who are in that situation?
Yes, so Tiny Ladder is set up for a service to help women who have experienced loss at any stage. And this includes right from conception, your body starts to change physically to accommodate the growing baby. So therefore, exercise considerations need to be taken. And this absolutely is the same for anybody who has experienced a natural termination or has come across a termination in another way. Absolutely, their body still has changed and has been accommodating for a growing baby. So hormone levels change in the body. The relaxin hormone absolutely comes into play. The feelings of grief are still there, absolutely, where Pilates and exercise can help. So yes, definitely Tiny Ladder can help with that.
So, Lauren, if someone has had a termination because there were so many things wrong with their growing fetus, what considerations should we have for their program?
Well, pregnancy loss at any stage can have a big impact physically. So the DNC that you might have in the first trimester, the recovery from that is something that we have to be mindful of. The hormonal changes early on, such as the relaxation, particularly through the ligaments in the pelvis and also other joints in the body. Early on, bloating, heaviness, mood changes from grief, lots of different considerations that we need to really be mindful of.
Absolutely.
But can I just talk about the prevalence as well of stillbirth and also miscarriage, early miscarriage and late-term miscarriage? So with stillbirth, as I mentioned before, it's 20 weeks a baby, when a baby dies from 20 weeks up to and including birth. And insane prevalence of this is just incredible. So when I lost my baby at 40 weeks gestation, I was one of six Australian women who heard that same news on that day. So your baby has no heartbeat. I was one of six Australian women who heard those same words. And so six babies a day are stillborn in Australia. And that is a number that has gone unchanged in over two decades.
Yeah.
And that is such an alarming rate of over 2,000 Australian women going through pregnancy that ends in shattered dreams instead of a beautiful baby. Such an alarming rate of over 2,000 stillbirths a year. With late-term miscarriage, the incidence is not as high as in early miscarriage. With early miscarriage, it's known to occur in around a quarter of all pregnancies.
Wow.
So up to one in four. Some statistics are a little bit different, but it's around that one in five even. But yeah, so it's quite a common event, I guess, if you look at it in terms of stats. So it's highly likely that a lot of your listeners will either know of someone who has experienced early miscarriage, or it will happen to them. So yeah, it's quite a big statistic, that one.
Wow, that is just absolutely huge. And the other thing is, when you are pregnant, like, you just tell the whole world. You want everyone to know about it. And some people, you know, say, even if they end up I've had two clients of mine who've had to have terminations because there were so many things wrong with their growing baby, and they'd already told everyone about being pregnant. They were just overjoyed. It was like just the best thing in their life ever. And then to have that termination just was so just horrible and devastating. And then they're having to kind of tell people, or people are like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
So everything's changed.
Absolutely. And there's often that unsaid 12-week rule that I can't seem to get my head around, but everyone waits up until that 12 weeks until they announce their pregnancy to everybody. And this is a really interesting point, because you are so excited to announce your pregnancy and you do want that support around you with the pregnancy moving forward, but you also need that support if something does happen and something does go wrong. So it's a little bit of an interesting idea, that 12-week wait. Yeah, so to have the pregnancy, to be so excited about it and then lose your pregnancy, either early miscarriage, late-term miscarriage, or lose your baby still in stillbirth, it's absolutely devastating and indescribable.
Mm.
Yes, for so many people involved.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's that thing of, because I remember one of my clients specifically saying to me, oh, I feel so foolish. I've told everyone I was pregnant and then I had to have a termination. And it's kind of like, you're not foolish for telling people. Mm. Like, it's good to have people who know, because then they can help you and grieve with you and
absolutely
understand what has been happening in your life. Like, it's such a massive thing that having as much support out there as possible is absolutely essential. And I feel like a lot of this information is just hidden away. Like that statistic of knowing that one in four women will have a miscarriage is just, that's absolutely incredible. I didn't even realize it was that high.
Mm. So. Yeah, it is really high. And for the your client, your two clients who have experienced their loss as well, and to then feel that, oh, I shouldn't have told people. Or
yeah, so they're really hard on themselves.
Yeah, it's they're going through that loss, and then they're going through the grieving process, and then they're also being so hard on themselves. So I really do feel for them in that. But you're right. You do need that support network around you so you can move through those early days, and it can become uncomfortable. It is talking about the loss of a baby and the loss of life, and it is innately uncomfortable, and it's going to be very hard to talk about such raw emotions, but to actually talk about it and to break down those taboo walls is really something that needs to happen. I mean, awareness brings change, and if people are aware of it and are there for support, that's going to change.
And so how do we find the right words to say? Like, what sort of language should we use when we're talking to someone who's recently experienced pregnancy loss?
Yeah, another great question. As I said, it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, it's so hard and so raw to talk about, but it is real. Pregnancy loss is real, and to start talking about it in a sensitive and respectful way is a starting point. So really just be mindful of the words that you're using. If you do hear of a miscarriage or stillbirth, things such as it was meant to be, or everything happens for a reason, or it's God's plan, you're young, you can have more children, all of those flippant cliches tend to be thought of without any real in-depth thought. They're just kind of thrown to try and help support or to try and help the healing process with words, which you cannot heal with words. So to start with, acknowledgement is key. Acknowledgement of the woman's experience, the loss of the baby. Also, ask about their baby. So how far along the pregnancy was. Acknowledgement is key. And when you find out that someone has experienced an early miscarriage or a stillbirth, it's always important to acknowledge their experience and their baby. Say you're sorry for their loss. Ask if they've got a good support network around them. And always just let them know that you're there with an ear, sensitivity and support for them if ever they want to talk about their baby.
Wow. And I guess the way we'd find out through if they did have a stillbirth experience is through the pre-screening.
Yes, yeah. So when a client comes to see you for the first time, the pre-screening and the PARQ, or the physical activity readiness questionnaire, that you'd go through before you actually start working with your client. Commonly, our pre-screening forms ask questions such as, are you currently pregnant or have you recently had a baby? And for someone who has experienced pregnancy loss and stillbirth, this question is so confronting. They've just lost their baby. They're meeting their trainer for the first time, their instructor for the first time. It's still really raw. It's really hard. And it's very hurtful to try and answer this question about if you're pregnant or if you've recently had a baby. So a lot of women will just typically just tick no, just to avoid talking about it and making their trainer feel uncomfortable. And so what we can do with our pre-screening is just change our wording a little bit, just to create a little bit more acknowledgement and a little bit more sensitivity. So questions such as, how many pregnancies have you had?
What if you could be ahead of everyone else in your studio with pre- and postnatal programming? What if everyone at your studio started to think of you as the person to refer pre- and postnatal clients to? What if you could never have to worry about what exercises to give to your pre- or postnatal clients next? What if the programming you gave your pre- and postnatal clients worked so well that they continued with you way beyond giving birth for many years to come? Book into the Torb Pilates pre- and postnatal course online or face-to-face. Please check out my website at torbpilatestraining.com and book in now.
When was the last time you were pregnant and did it go to term? Start to open the door for conversation in a more sensitive and less triggering way. Mm. And you can just have that conversation with your client about that experience, depending on what they've indicated on their pre-screening form.
Absolutely. Yeah, because if you see a tick of yes, then you go, oh, how old's your baby now?
yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So just having those questions on the pre-screening forms that will allow that acknowledgement and air for that experience as well that you can then talk about.
And what has been your experience with older clients whose son or daughter may have experienced pregnancy loss and the effect on them in classes?
This is huge. This is a really good question. They're not affected physically themselves. They haven't gone through the pregnancy or those emotions of of having a baby, but it's their baby going through this experience. So their emotions of grief are almost twofold. They're grieving for the loss that their child has experienced, but then they're also grieving for the loss of their grandchild. So in a Pilates class, to accommodate for the grandparents, it's really important to allow that space for conversation, that open conversation, and also know that the Pilates exercises that you're programming are going to be those heart opening or those chest opening exercises where they can really build their strength, really open up their posture, and therefore be stronger to deal with any emotions that may flare up as well.
Absolutely. And also, I imagine working that pelvic floor lift so that they get that internal support, so they're feeling stronger from the inside out, even though they haven't gone through a birth experience. Mm. Just having that sense of internal support, I think, can really help a lot of people through emotional struggles in their life too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of pelvic floor work is really great as well for the grandparents.
And tell me, with your experience, Lauren, how has Pilates actually helped you?
Pilates has helped me in a huge way. I mentioned before about the postnatal considerations and consequences I had physically in my body after my stillbirth experience, and I felt like my body had failed me, as I said, and it took a long time to think that I actually could return to exercise and could return to Pilates because I had lost my faith in my body. I was left with considerable abdominal separation, or DRAM. So DRAM is diastasis of the rectus abdominal muscle. With the rectus abdominal muscle, the six-pack muscle, as we commonly know it as, and the linea alba that connects those two muscles is like a glad wrap sheath that goes around the muscles. And I'm sorry for the vegetarians out there, but I like to think of it as two lamb back straps together that have been wrapped in plastic, and something that the organs or through the pregnancy has pressed gently through that linear alba or through that glad wrap and separated those lamb back straps or separated the muscles.
I guess it needs to separate to make room for the growing baby.
Absolutely.
Otherwise there's no room.
Yes. So every pregnancy towards the end of pregnancy will definitely have a diastasis, but it's how that will come back together in those postnatal days, which is the consideration of Pilates instructors that we need to work with as well.
Absolutely.
I was also left with pubic symphysis sensitivity, SIJ issues, and also sciatica as well. So getting back into Pilates was paramount for me when I felt ready. And when I did get back into Pilates, it was just really starting off at that foundation level, going back to basics, reconnecting with my breath, reconnecting with that gentle activation of the pelvic floor muscles, reconnecting with my abdominal muscles that I felt were just no longer in existence anymore. So the breath, it really just came back to that Pilates breath, the activation through the transversus and also through the pelvic floor muscles, as I said. It was really connecting with a women's health physio as well, that I was able to get back into the clinical Pilates side of things under the care of a women's health physio, and that was amazing. She was able to assess internally what was going on through ultrasound with my pelvic floor and also with my transverse and oblique muscles, if I was overfiring those or overcompensating with particular exercises, which was amazing. Pilates helped me slow down my mind. It was my own time. I could find my happy place in such a stage of grief. It was familiar to me. So slowly I was able to rebuild my broken body.
Oh, wow.
And just really getting in, as I mentioned before, really getting to those chest opening exercises, those back strengthening exercises, that activation, that awareness, the breath and control. All of what Pilates encompasses was just so helpful for me.
Wow. And it must have been so full on after such a massive loss, then to have, you know, especially the gap, the separation, the abdominal separation.
Yes, yeah.
Almost like it's almost metaphoric, because it's kind of like you've got this loss of, like, there's this gap that's missing in your life. And then you have this abdominal gap as well. So
wow, I hadn't thought of it like that before. Yeah. Absolutely. It's just that that hole and that loss of integrity in your body, in your stomach, and yeah, that sense of loss, that dark space. For me, it was the integrity as well, that really poor integrity. I had 3.5 centimeter gap, and it was really the integrity that got me. So being able
linear alba integrity.
Yes, like, yeah, absolutely. The linear alba integrity. And just being able to work through my breath and control, know what I should avoid and know how to activate before I move, that really helped me decrease my abdominal separation.
Because we've talked also, you've been to a few of my workshops and you've said doing that back extension doesn't actually help the gap. So avoiding those type of back extension exercises.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. So anything that will increase the space between the rib cage and the pelvis in a way that down the front of the body will stretch the abdominal muscles and perhaps not be as supportive as what other exercises could be. So in terms of the exercises that I use that were really great for DRAM were just those single leg raises, arm circles and squats, those sorts of things that were quite good for me to really activate with quality through the abdominals, but also the pelvic floor activation, because as soon as you switch on your pelvic floor muscles, you know that TA likes to come to the party and switch on slightly as well. So you just need that little bit of assistance to help. It's not that over-activation that I was initially doing with my obliques that wanted to come in. It was just being able to back off and soften a little bit rather than go in that full force.
And doing something as simple as toe taps where like with one foot grounded, so in that closed kinetic chain, so you're not over... there's not too much intrapelvic pressure or intra-abdominal pressure.
Yes.
So you don't have too much of a strong feeling through working the abdominals. So you can really focus on closing that gap in without loading everything up. So being so gentle and kind to your body.
Absolutely.
Because I see a lot of postnatal women, they're like, I want my body back. I'm going to go for a run.
Yes, absolutely. And when you've experienced pregnancy loss, you don't have the baby to
stop you from going.
That's right. So that's something to be really mindful as well. Just jumping back into exercise a little bit too soon, too hard, that might create
the gap worse.
Yeah.
Or cause more pelvic floor problems.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because if you don't have that acknowledgement of actually having a baby, it can almost stop you from acknowledging that you need to do postnatal exercise.
For sure.
To recover.
For sure. People just think, oh, your baby's disappeared, you were never pregnant, you'll go back into the body that you once were in. But for me, it wasn't like that at all. And I know for a lot of women who I work with, it is certainly not like that at all. So connecting with your women's health physio is your first port of call, and then being guided with appropriate exercises, the Pilates repertoire that would be suitable for postnatal women, and just paying that extra consideration to women who have experienced loss because they don't have their baby. Just watch that they are in tune with what's going on with their body, not wanting to rush back and get into those heavy exercises with the planks and the hundreds. Oh my gosh.
And the sit-ups and the single leg stretch. No.
The teaser and all those sorts of fun ones that really do increase intra-abdominal pressure that we just need to be a little bit more mindful of. And also just really connecting with the pelvic floor muscles as well. That's the number one thing.
Yeah, and I really think that we as Pilates instructors can really actually help the women who've gone through stillbirth. So, yeah.
The exercises for the Pilates muscle, the exercises for the pelvic floor muscles that I really love to do, sort of my 1, 2, and 3 exercises would be the spine articulation. Some instructors might know it as the pelvic curl or the bridge, but being in that position with your feet on the floor, your head and your shoulders on the floor and your pelvis lifted is so incredibly powerful for a postnatal woman to be able to activate their pelvic floor muscles and find their pelvic floor muscles. And if there's any prolapse considerations, this one working with gravity can really help as well. I love the pelvic floor, the pelvic curl spine articulation exercise early postnatal.
Yeah, it is actually a fabulous one, because if you think of it starting with that pelvic floor lift, the muscles of the pelvic floor actually attach onto the tiny bones of the coccyx. So that would actually lead into the very minute first part of that spine articulation of that pelvic floor lifting. So of that tiny little bones of the coccyx starting to lift and then coccyx curling under. So it is actually a really lovely, lovely exercise to even visualize. Like, it's just so beautiful. And that sensation of all the strength through the glutes to keep the hips up, and you're getting that core back.
So the strength through the glutes to help hip stability is really important as well, because in late pregnancy you're in that anterior pelvic tilt for so long that to get the coccyx starting to move and create that movement through the pelvis is so incredibly beneficial.
So when we're talking about we've got so many postnatal changes that have happened. So, and this is the same for stillbirth. So what exercises should we be incorporating with our postnatal clients who have experienced stillbirth?
Great question. I would absolutely include every exercise that you would do for a postnatal client in a regular situation. But extra consideration needs to be for women who have experienced pregnancy loss or stillbirth, with really thinking about their grieving process and the way that the body wants to hold itself in that process. It's not dissimilar to holding a new baby, where your shoulders are rounding forward, you're almost in that fetal position with that grief. You feel like there's a weight on your shoulders, so you're just really getting pushed down, or feel like you're being pulled down towards the earth. So thinking about elongating the spine, lengthening out through the crown of your head, walking tall, the shoulders back and down, and working on things like those low chariot pulls, those low draw the swords, to really open up across the front of the chest, and getting those almost power poses happening with that to get that feeling of uplifting in the body. When grief can be all consuming and we find ourselves just slumping down a lot, just really thinking about having your clients open up, lift up, stand tall, and trying to generate that good energy within the body, so that can help empower them to move forward in their slow journey of healing.
Wow. And it's interesting that you talk about those power poses within an exercise, because I've noticed with some of my clients who are, you know, a little bit depressed or down, when I do get them to do those, you know, side arm series where they are drawing the sword, or they're reaching the arm up to the ceiling in those power positions, you can actually see their spirit lift a little, and they do look more empowered. And they look strong.
Absolutely.
And they might not necessarily be that strong, but they actually look more powerful and more strong in those positions. So it's kind of like, I think they really do work on a deeper psychological level. Like, it's just amazing to see.
So those power poses, absolutely, that opening.
Yeah. It just makes such a big difference. And do you think tactile cues become more important as a communication tool, or should we be more, if someone has experienced pregnancy loss and they do have abdominal separation, should we be going in there and trying to pull their abdominals together, or should we be like pulling back a bit? Like, what is your take on touch? How should we be touching these people?
Oh, I love this question. Tactile cues. I love tactile cues. I think that they are fantastic. We're always getting the permission from our clients before we move ahead with tactile cues. And my advice would be that this situation would be the same, just getting that okay, it's okay to be able to move, or to be able to create, to be able to touch, getting that permission first of all. Your client will soon indicate how comfortable they are to have the tactile cues done, but also just please be mindful that, yeah, digging fingers into a CESS dram or being able to connect the abdominal wall might be a little bit too much for someone who has experienced pregnancy loss in that area. So I would start with the verbal cueing, absolutely, the visualization. And I would also start with that tactile cueing away from the center area of the body. So perhaps a hand on the knee or shoulder or wrist would be a little bit more beneficial early on, just until your client becomes really confident with you and comfortable with you and feels safe with what you're doing. And then maybe a couple of sessions in, just say, do you feel comfortable with me being able to hold your abdominals together? I'm I've talked with the women's health physio, and we've come to the understanding that you do have that abdominal separation. So let's see how we can move forward and work together with that. Would that be okay with you? So always just touching base with your client about how comfortable she feels with the tactile cueing.
Wow. And how can we get in touch with you, Lauren? What is the best way?
So if you'd like to reach out and get in touch through my website is a great way, tinyladder, tinyladder.com.au. And I'd really encourage you just to subscribe to my newsletters and follow my program development journey for pregnancy loss through my newsletters and also through my blog. On Facebook, I can be contacted through Tiny Ladder with a capital T, capital L. Instagram, Tiny Ladder, all lowercase, and in my LinkedIn, Lauren Hughes, and it's H-E-W-E-S for Hughes.
Great. And so the support networks for Australia, they'll all be listed on the blog on my website, but there's Stillbirth Foundation, Still Aware, Bears of Hope, Red Nose, and SANS, which is 1-300-072-637. So if you're listening outside of Australia, there are many organisations around the world who you can reach out to for support. So please connect with them. And to get in touch with Lauren, you can contact her through her website at tinyladder.com.au or follow her on Facebook at Tiny Ladder. Thank you so much, Lauren, for your time today.
You've just been amazing
and so, you've just put everything out there, and I think it's going to make a big difference for other women to hear your story and to know that there is more support out there for them as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Louise.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining me. If you've learned something awesome today, do a friend a favour and share this episode so that they too can learn the art of Pilates. You can book a Pilates session with me at louisetaubpilates.com. Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at my other website, taubpilatestraining.com. So if there is anything you want more info on, check it out there. If you love what you hear, I would really appreciate you leaving a review. I hope that you've enjoyed listening and that you have learned some tips and tricks to help you master the art of Pilates. If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so at patreon.com, The Art of Pilates. I hope you have a great rest of your day and enjoy Pilates.